الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رأيتم الذين يعتاد المسجد فاشهدوا له بالإيمان أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to the halat and conditions that will come upon his ummah, he gave us a parable and example wherein he compared this ummah with the ummah of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي مَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ He said, the same halat and conditions will come upon my ummah as came upon the ummah of Musa alayhi salam. And we find in the riwayat the expression, hadhwan na'li bin na'l. Sometimes when you follow somebody, you can ostensibly or outwardly follow that person. Then there is a greater emphasis on following someone. Which, in Arabic terminology, this expression is used, hadhwan na'li bin na'l. You put your footstep on the same spot that he put his footstep. This is hadhwan na'li bin na'l. So he said, to that extent, there will be a similarity in what will transpire upon my ummah with the ummah of Musa alayhi salam. What is the underlying exhortation and meaning of the hadith? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قِصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ That the incidents of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam that are mentioned in great detail in the Quran. This is not there as the nations of the past or the kuffar and the mushrikeen said, asatirul awwaleen. These are tales, fabricated stories. For us, it is haqiqat, it is a reality, and it is ibrat. We have to extract and interpolate lessons from the incidents of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And of all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, plus minus 25 that are mentioned in the Quran, there is no Nabi who is mentioned more and no ummah that is mentioned more than the ummah, than Musa alayhi salam and his ummah. Of the 30 juz in the Quran, 28 juz of the Quran, 28 paras in the Quran, we find mention of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in the Bani Israel. To such an extent that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadwan na'li bin na'l, the underlying lesson is that observe and study what happened to the Bani Israel because the same thing is going to happen to this ummah. And Allah's sunnah, Allah's system, Allah's dealing with humanity doesn't change. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا Allah does not deviate from His sunnah. Bani Israel, zulm and oppression on an unprecedented scale. Their newborn male children were slaughtered. Their female children were enslaved. They were totally oppressed by Fir'aun. They had no physical, no financial means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only gave them salvation, but Allah elevated this ummah. Allah made them warithullahi fil ard. They inherited great rulership on this earth. Allah ta'ala from the progeny of this ummah produced plus minus 4,000 Anbiya alayhimu salam. What was the solution that was given to the Bani Israel? Was Musa alayhi salam shown some nuclear technology that wasn't present at that time? Was some special weaponry sent down? Was a special army sent down? No. Jumu'ah, its time is very limited. But the crux of it, what was the solution given to the Ummah of Musa alayhi salam? Ij'alu buyutakum qiblatan wa aqimu salam. Alallahi tawakkalna. Two things. Tawakkul, turn the gaze of this heart away from the asbab and means and turn it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the practical demonstration of that, make every home a masjid. That which today we find very strange when this jamaat is going door to door and saying kalima namaz, kalima namaz, kalima namaz. This is not something, this is not the logical deduction of Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi or Nizamuddin or Raiwin. This is extracted directly from Quran and Hadith. This ummah was elevated from the depths of oppression to the heights of this world on the basis of kalima and namaz. Tawakkul and making every home a masjid. That was that ummah. For the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the position of masjid has been elevated much more. Ihtimam of Salah wa Jamaat, establishment of masjid, the verse of the Quran which I recited in the beginning. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna awwala bayt. Inna awwala bayt. Interestingly, in Quran and in Hadith, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refer to masjid, very often we find this word being used, bayt. What is bayt in Arabic? Literally, it means a home, a house. What is the underlying meaning of a house? The place where most of your time is spent. Or if your time is not spent there, you are away from there, your heart is attached to it. Every one of us go on a journey, the heart is aspiring for the house. We want to return back. It's the place of solace. It's the place of comfort. It's the place of protection. Our entire lives revolve around our homes. Allah uses the same word, inna awwala bayt, the first house. The first house, Quran could have said the first worship place. The first place of salah, the first place of ibadat. Yet Allah says, the first house, inna awwala bayt, wudhi'a linnas, that was placed. Where was it placed? In the heart of the Middle East. It was placed in a desert. It was placed in Makkah. Yet Allah doesn't say it was placed for the people of Makkah or for Jaziratul Arab, no. What does Allah say? وُذِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. This house was established for the entire humanity. لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ. Physically it is located in Makkah Mukarrama. But, مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. On the basis of this masjid, there will be barakat. And there will be hidayat for the entire alam. Otherwise, what was the need? What was the need to separate an elderly father who reached the age of over 90? From his young, beautiful wife, Hajar, the princess of Egypt, and the newborn child that was the result of more than 60 years of dua, Rabbi Habli Min As-Salihin, Rabbi Habli Min As-Salihin. 60 years of dua, Allah blesses him with a child. And then the command is separate. What was the underlying, what was the need for this? A house had to be established, a masjid had to be established. Under the shade of that masjid, when the correct qurbani and sacrifice was given by this family, Allah Ta'ala gave zamzam. In other words, Allah sustained from the unseen. Warzuqhum, warzuq alayhim min al-thamarat, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the thamarat and barakat of the whole world was brought to this place. In the case of the destruction of the Ababil, Abraha when he tried to attack Baytullah, the Ababil was sent. Allah Ta'ala sent a hidden army to protect this place. Sustenance from the unseen, thamarat from the unseen, protection from the unseen. The system of the malaika of Allah working for the protection of this place. What does Quran tell us? It is not restricted to Kaabatullah. It is not restricted to this one masjid, but this one masjid is linnas for the whole humanity. It is barakat and it is hidayat for the whole humanity. What is the underlying lesson? That wherever there will be a masjid, it is almost as if an electrical, like you get an electrical powerhouse, wiring is taking place. That masjid's link has to be with Kaabatullah, with the amal of Kaabatullah, with the amal of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, with what they came with. Then that same help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which descended upon Kaabatullah will descend upon that masjid. This, the importance of masjid for this ummah was elevated to such an extent that we don't find this with any other ummah. What did they have? They had soma'a, worship places, sometimes in a tree, sometimes in a cave, sometimes in solitude. They would make Allah's ibadat. But this ihtimam of establishment of masjid, of jamaat, salah with jamaat, has been elevated for this ummah to a level that was not found for any other ummah. Otherwise, if we look, the hijrat journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stopped in Quba. Mashhur, the famous riwayat is 14 days. But there is even one riwayat that 4 days. 4 days or 14 days in Quba. Quba was not the goal, Medina was the goal. This was a stop on a journey, yet what does Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Cutting the incident short, the camel stood at the spot. He commanded Abu Bakr, move the camel, radiallahu anhu. Camel refused to move. Umar moved the camel, radiallahu anhu. Again the camel refused to move. Ali, radiallahu anhu, is commanded, move the camel. Camel becomes angry, agitated. Those who understand the psychology of a camel, they say a camel, when it becomes aggressive, is more dangerous than a lion also. Ali, radiallahu anhu, rushes back out of fear. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this camel has been commanded by Allah. A masjid has to be established on this spot. La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa. A masjid, the foundation of which was taqwa. Medina Munawara, the first milestone, first important thing, masjid was established. This level of ihtimam and importance of masjid, we don't find this with any other ummah to such an extent. He was rahmatul lil alameen, he was a mercy to humanity, yet Sahih hadith, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ فِتْيَتِي فَيَجْمَعُوا لِي حُزْمًا مِّنْ حَطَبْ ثُمَّ آتِي قَوْمٍ يُصَلُّونَ فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ فَأُحَرِّقَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. This hurt the Nabi of Allah so much that the ummah should not make ihtimam of salah in the masjid. That he said, I decided it was my intention to put someone else on my musalla. Then I will patrol the streets of Medina Munawwara and see who is making salah in their homes. And I will burn down those homes. لَوْ حَرِّقُهَا عَلَيْهِمْ, I would burn it down. Such emphasis, such importance, my respected brothers. Currently, if you look at our current situation, coronavirus, government regulations, for a little period of time, our masjids were locked off. At that time, those whose hearts are brimming with the noor of iman, my respected brothers, to be cut off from the masjid is untenable. It's not possible. When Quran speaks of abadi of masjid, establishment of amal of masjid, Allah creates a direct link of this with iman. In the first verse, Allah says barakat. Allah says hidayat. Another verse, innama ya'muru masajid Allah man amana billah wal yawmil akhir wa aqama as-salah wa ata az-zakah wa lam yakhsha illa Allah fa asa ulaika an yakunu min al-muhtadin. 6 things are mentioned in this verse. 6 seals of approval are mentioned in this verse. Who is Allah talking about? Ya'muru masajid Allah. Those who will make the masjid abad. Imaratul masjid literally means to build. What does it mean? What is the analogy? Their lives revolve around the masjid. They are attached to the masjid. They will never separate themselves from the masjid. Masjid, This doesn't belong. Masjid does not belong to any king, any government, any ruler. Masjid does not belong to any trustee board. Masjid does not belong to any group of people. I'm digressing, time is limited. Harun Rashid was a khalifa ruling three continents. Three continents, one ruler. One day he gets upset, angry. Some khatpat argument takes place with his wife. So he tells her that if by daybreak tomorrow, when the sun rises, if you are still in the kingdom of Harun, three talaqs. Immediately after that, he regrets. Nowadays, these type of things happen because of jahalat, ignorance. We fire the bullets, then we regret. And then when they regret, what happens? They say, I did it out of anger, I didn't mean it. As if somebody gives talaq when he's not angry. Thalathun, jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three things, whether in joke, jest, anger, any condition. Once the bullet is fired, there's no taking it back. Then mashallah, this Muslim of Iman becomes a believer in Trinity. He makes three into one. Then he looks around for an alim to get a fatwa. The mufti says, bhai, three is three. Can't make it into one. Then he doesn't come right with a normal mufti. Then he goes to the grand mufti. Give a grand and get a fatwa. So one person went around like that. Found one grand mufti. He said, no problem, your nikah is intact. How come? He said, when you gave talaq, you said, you didn't pronounce the qaf, you said it with a kaf. So the talaq didn't fall. So when the actual mufti heard about it, he said, tell him his nikah never took place. Because there too, qabiltu, he said with a kaf. But these were not, like today, enlightened thinkers, intellectuals, advanced thinkers, intelligentsia. These people, their lives revolved around the Shariat. Harun Rashid gathers the ulama, any way out, they say no way out. Why? There was no Concorde. No supersonic jet. Three continents, even the camel was the fastest, or horse was the fastest conveyance. Starts the journey by daybreak. Next day she's not going to be out of the kingdom of Harun. Next question. He asked those ulama, any of the students of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah around. Imam Hanifa had passed away, but his faqahat was famous. Harun Rashid knew of it. Any of his shagirs, any of his students. They said, yes, there is one, Abu Yusuf. His name was actually Yaqub. Rahmatullah alayhi. Poor person. His father was a, what we call dobi in Urdu. Make his living out of washing people's clothes. Simple person. Sends for him. Presents this masla in front of him. I told my wife, if by daybreak tomorrow you are in the kingdom of Harun Rashid, three talaqs, is there any way out for me? He says, yes. On the spot, without hesitation, yes. Harun Rashid is shocked. What is the way out? Ulama are shocked. He says, tell her to spend the night in the masjid, so that at daybreak tomorrow she is in the masjid, the talaqs will not fall. Now they are looking at him. Where's the proof? Where's the dalil? Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi immediately, the verse of the Quran, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ The masjids belong to Allah. No government owns the masjid. No king or khalifa or ruler owns the masjid. This is the leveler. Whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are an employer or an employee, whoever, wherever, in the masjid you are all equal. Why? Because the masjid belongs to Allah. Buyuti fil ardhil masajid. Buyuti fil ardhil masajid. Hadith Qudsi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates the words of Allah. Again, here also, what does Allah say? Buyuti, my house, my houses on this earth are the masjids. Ummaruha, zuwaruha. Those who will make the masjid abad, those whose lives will revolve around the masjid. Allah says, they are the guests of the masjid. Then the hadith is ajeeb. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Allah says, Tuba. What is Tuba? Tuba is like Mubarak. Congratulations. Shabash. You won, to use a crude example, you won the lottery. Tuba. Mubarak. For who? Liman tatakhara fi baytihi. For the one who made wudu at home. Then what it should have been, logically. made wudu, thumma dhahaba ila al-masjid, dakhala al-masjid, ja ila al-masjid, masha ila al-masjid, walked to the masjid, went to the masjid, left his home, entered the masjid. Yet Allah doesn't say that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah says, tuba, mubarak to that person, liman tatanghara fi baytihi, who made wudu at home, thumma zarani, then came to visit me. You're going to the masjid is to visit Allah, thumma zarani. And then, haqqun ala al-mazuri an yukrima zairahu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah says, I have elevated you to that position that it is a right upon me. Allah takes it upon himself that I will honor and serve and remove the difficulties of those who will come to the masjid. Inna lil masjidi awtada. Inna lil masjidi awtada. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are some people, look at the ajeeb choice of words in the hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't say there are some people who are, you find them in the masjid. What does he say? Otada. Otad is the plural of watad. Watad means a peg. When you're putting up a tent, you take a peg and you knock it into the ground. Why this analogy? Because it is firm. It will not move. It will not shake. Nothing can separate this person from the masjid. Inna lil masjidi awtada, they are pegs of the masjid. You have to use physical force to remove them. This is the analogy. And what is the maqam? Rasulullah says, al malaikatu julasa'uhum. Those who understand Arabic, what it should have been? Hum julasa'ul malaika. What does it mean? They are in the company of the malaika. Yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say that. He said, al malaikatu julasa'uhum. What? Understand this difference by way of an example. Sometimes you hear some sheikh, some Allah wala, some pious person came to town. What happens? We say, let us go and sit in the sohbat and company of that Allah wala will benefit. Al malaika to julasam, what does this mean? The malaika say to one another, let us go and sit in the company of this person. Al malaika look for this person to sit in his company. Who? The one who is the peg of the masjid. In ghabu iftaqaduhum. If he is missing, they go look for him. In maridu aduhum, if he is sick, the malaika go and visit him. Wa in kanu fi hajatin aanuhum, and if there is some need that took him away from the masjid, the malaika assist this person to fulfill that need quickly so that he can come back to the masjid. Coming back to that verse of the Quran, we have run out of time. Innama ya'muru masajid Allah. Allah gives the sifat and the attributes. Allah gives the sifat and the attributes. Who are the people of the masjid? Who make abadi of the masjid? Whose lives revolve around the masjid? What does Quran tell us? One, man amana billah, their iman is intact. Idha ra'aytum alladhina ya'tadu almasjid fashhadu lahu bil iman. My Nabi said, if you see a man whose life revolves around the masjid, gives shahadat that he has iman. Man amana billah, believes in Allah, wal yawmil akhir, and in akhirat, establishes salah, discharges zakat, his life is on deen. Walam yakhsha illallah, he doesn't fear any virus, he doesn't fear any sickness, he doesn't fear any media propaganda, he does not fear any lies and fabrications and altering of data to get confused. His entire life revolves around the masjid. قُلْ لَيْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. This is لَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Nothing and no one can harm me except that which Allah has decreed. Nothing and no one can harm me except that which Allah has decreed. Allah is my Mawla. I will place my trust and my reliance on Allah. We are given our du'as of hifazat. We are given the shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why has our iman become so weak? Why have we separated ourselves from the masjid? Understand this concept. No one is here to break the laws of the country. Islam does not advocate that. When the masjid was closed off, it was a regulation at that time to make it palatable. One or two masail were mentioned. One time there was a torrential rainfall. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed the muazzin, say, sallu fi rihalikum, read at home. Temporarily, one or two isolated incidents. And today what has happened, when the masjid has opened, we are now clutching on to that to stay away from the masjid. Understand, my respected brothers, even pork becomes halal under certain circumstances. Even liquor becomes halal under certain circumstances. Those are isolated circumstances. You're on the brink of starvation. It doesn't mean that becomes your permanent practice. This ummah's hifazat and protection is that its life has to revolve around the masjid. وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, fear no one but Allah. There is no trustee board, no government, no regulation that is above the shariat. فَأَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah says, you want hidayat? Quran attaches hidayat to our body of masjid. We've run out of time. I'm going to terminate on one saying of a great sahabi. And this saying, not only one sahabi, Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira, other sahaba have said similar things. But for the sake of brevity, I'm mentioning Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu's advice to the ummah. He said, من سره أن يلقى الله غدا مسلما فليحافظ على هؤلاء الصلاة حيث ينادى بهن فإن الله شرع لنبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم سنن الهدى وإنهن من سنن الهدى. He said, any one of you who tomorrow wants to meet Allah on the day of judgment with his iman and Islam intact, he wants to meet Allah tomorrow on iman and Islam, on hidayat, what must you do? Abdullah bin Masood says, protect your salah with jamaat in the masjid. Where the azan is called out, protect your salah with jamaat there. Why? Because Allah has ordained for his Nabi certain practices of hidayat. And he said, salah with jamaat in the masjid is amongst those practices of hidayat. And he says, if you will do as certain people, كَمَا يُصَلِّي هَذَا الْمُتَخَلِّفِ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ, if you will abandon the masjid and make salah in your workplaces or in your homes or elsewhere, لَتَرَقْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ, you have abandoned this practice of hidayat. And Abdullah bin Masood says, وَلَوْ تَرَقْتُكُمْ هَذِهِ السُنَّةَ لَظَلَلْتُمْ, if you will abandon this practice of salah in the masjid, you will be deviated. You will go on to dalalat. You will lose your iman and Islam to whatever extent. Allah protect us. Then he went on to say that if you will make wudu at home and proceed to the masjid, on every step Allah will give you one reward. Every step Allah will wipe away one sin. Every step Allah will elevate you one stage in akhirat. And then he said that we, the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, emphasized salah in the masjid to such an extent that even a munafiq, malumun nifaq, whose nifaq was known, whose hypocrisy was known, would still make salah in the masjid. And he says, even the weak and the infirm and the sick, supported by two people, would be carried in that condition and made to stand in saf in salah. Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ana darirul basar, I have lost my eyesight, I am a blind man. I am a blind man, halli min rukhsa. Ya Rasulullah, can I make my salah at home? Can I make my salah at home? My Nabi asked him, asami'atum nida, do you hear the azan? He says, yes. Rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy to humanity. He says, ma ajidu li min rukhsa, I can't find any excuse for you to be allowed to absent yourself from the masjid. Hidayat is in the masjid. A protection of our iman is in the masjid. Whatever halat and conditions, my respected brothers, we are not requesting anyone to break the regulations of government or to not take precautions. Those are a separate issue. Do whatever you have to do. Everything else we make allowances. Why has this ummah abandoned the masjid? Why have the number of our musallis dropped? Why is the amal of masjid not coming alive? Are we going to blame some government? Are we going to blame halat and conditions? My respected brothers, this is the shi'ar and the symbol and the test of our iman. Let our lives revolve around the masjid, and Allah bring that day that we die on the effort of masjid.
Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.